Welcome to the Only One Shot Studios, located in the great state of Mississippi. That was Steve Azar from his album Indianola. The song's The Coach. Find Steve Azar at steveazar.com. Find any of his music you want there. He's got some new stuff coming out. Check him out there. You can check us out on Instagram. Only One Shot is our Instagram account there. I'm Jim Gallagher Jr. I'm your host. Played on the PGA Tour for up to 2000, from started in 1994. Spent the next few years staying at home, being a dad, and then went on to play the Champions Tour for a while. Now I'm a golf analyst for the Golf Channel. Find me at Instagram, Gallagher Jr., and on Twitter at Gallagher Jr. GC. So exactly what is Only One Shot? It's a book written by Vijay Trolio. He's my co-host. He's a teaching professor at Old Waverly Golf Club in West Point, Mississippi, top 100 teacher in the world. Good player himself, got into the teaching part of it. One of the brighter minds, has written three other books. And as I said, he's my co-host. And we're going to give you a little insight on how elite, competitive, gritty, and healthy competitors are made. And this is podcast number 7. It's kind of a combination wrap with some data and some real life of a junior golfer from our podcast 5 and 6. And this is a junior golfer who's, we're not going to throw his name out there, but he's committed. He's not gone to college, but...
Not committed to the
nut house, because both of us have already been there. And BJ, we've both been committed to those things. But I'm going to let you lead with this.
Yeah, and sure. Go ahead. You know, so we're still trying to summarize with you've had some guests on, talked about some of the expenses that go into it with time, energy, monetary. Talked about it from a structure standpoint, a parenting standpoint. You've had a kid on, and so now we're going to go to some real hard data, right? So to let people know, I have a resume in front of me for a kid, as you alluded to, that is going to a Division I school.
Tons of kids. I mean, and you've had how many kids, you think? I mean, I'm catching a little off guard. How many kids have gone on to junior golf to college golf? You've been teaching for
100, a lot.
Right. So you've seen this firsthand. So this is a specific example of someone that you have worked with.
Yep. And so I have a resume that goes back, it's a 6-year resume from, I guess, what's 6 years back from their junior year? What is that?
So they're 9 or 10 when they all started. Yeah. So somewhere in that area where most junior golfers probably start playing competitively. There'd be some start early, but that's when they kind of get serious about it.
The total number of events, is 76 events. So they've played in 76 junior golf tournaments over a 6-year period.
So they're playing almost 10 a season. That's quite a bit. That's a big summer.
Yeah. That's not counting. None of these events are high school golf events. So we're not counting the 6 or 7 they play. These are all
summer events where they're traveling either locally, statewide, even some national events.
And this particular individual, it looked like they played all state events as they were younger, with the exception of the Future Masters in Dothan, Alabama.
Which, you know, a lot of kids in the South try to get. Actually, they get them from all over the country, as I remember, and it's a really big tournament for the kids to want to be
for in. The Little Peoples is in Quincy, Illinois. You know, it's the same kind of thing. The U.S. Kids has now a world championship, so... Essentially, you're looking at what this young man did was he played in 6 events. He, I guess at this point, he's 10, 11 years old. He played in 6 events, and only one of them were outside of state.
Wow.
So
you can do it in state, you're saying?
Yeah, that wasn't a big expense. Going forward to the last year that we have on record, he plays in 12 events, and only one of them were in the state that he
resided. So he's gone from the local level, state level. He's done pretty much what he wants to do statewide. He wants to play in some national events, and so now he thinks their game is ready to go to the next level nationwide.
That's right, and that would be from first to last. So when you start doing the math on that, then there's obviously this particular player, this particular athlete became a Division I player. So it looks like he followed kind of a road mark of all right, I'm going to play here at home. I'm going to get my skills better. I might have one little fun one that I go play in. That's a big one, you know, like the major of the summer. And then it looks like as he accomplished these things before he went to college, he was playing a schedule that looked much more national and maybe one local event. So the schedule flip-flop.
I mean, you've got, like you say, you've taught 100 of them. So where do these kids, I mean, you've got your state organizations. Here we have the Mississippi Golf Association. Indiana has the Indiana Golf Association, and they're all over the country. So that's your state run. Sometimes it's run with the PGA and amateurs together. Most of the time it's just the amateurs run it. So where do you find, now you want to go regional or even national. I mean, everybody knows the AJGA.
Yeah,
are there other tours or anywhere else you could maybe suggest?
You have the Hurricane Tour. You have the SJGT that's out there that they play regional events. They're based out of Auburn, I believe. Mm-hmm. Auburn, Alabama, but they play all over in
Georgia. Todd Thompson runs that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you have, more national events, which are, you have AJGA events, but you also have USGA qualifiers. You also have, events like the Kelly Gibson, they play down in the Tommy Moore Invitational that Kelly Gibson
Orleans,
run down New Orleans. And, the Pepsi Little Peoples, they're kind of sitting out there. And then at some point you have some really old, super cool ones like the Southern Junior. The Western Junior,
North South Junior, which is also at Pinehurst. I mean, the U.S. Junior, you got those. So you've got those options out there, and I think that's real important because a lot of people don't know where to even go look, and that's the idea, and that's kind of what we're trying to do is give them some options. Where can you go look? And those are the things. Go look things up. I mean, you can Google anything. And there's some great old tournaments. I mean, it used to be the Insurance Youth Classic was one where even the touring pros would come play. And that, I think, I don't believe it's even in existence. But it was one of the best ones because the AJGA became so popular. And there is a process of that. You have to, and I'm not versed enough to and an expert enough to tell how that all goes through. But it gets expensive. And you've got to, for these coaches that are looking, and the junior golfers, there's a ranking system. And the higher you're ranked, obviously, the more attention you're going to get. And they use a lot of that ranking. So you've got to kind of figure out which events give you the most points, give you the opportunity to get your ranking up. And it's a little bit of a game in itself. And there's a lot of folks out there who don't understand it, that haven't been doing it. I've had kids go through it. My wife totally understands it. I still don't understand it. If I beat you, I should be number one. I mean, that's kind of my old school thinking, but there's a little bit more to it. And I think it gets a little bit difficult and you've got some people trying to figure that out, and that's what we're here trying to
put that information let's start with the monetary side of this 200 and of the 76 events that this young man played. Okay. So I'm going to take an average entry fee of $200. So the players played in 76 events.
How those usually 2 days, 1 day? They vary.
Yeah, they're nearly all 2 day events.
Okay.
You're going to have 3 day events once you start playing AJGA stuff or Western Junior stuff. Are the most home, like the state junior championships. Mm-hmm. Most of those are going to be 3 day events. But if you just look at tournament entry fees alone and you multiply the 76 by 200, which would be a fair shake, you're looking at $15,200.
That's just entry fees.
That's just entry fees that this junior player, this is an estimate,
76
events, an average of $200 per entry fee would be $15,000. So now let's take that and let's take the 76 events and let's multiply that by $150. So let's just look at a basic hotel room. It's $11,400.
That's added up.
Yeah. And that's saying one that's not even really talking about quantifying like a 2 day because you're never going to stay in a hotel 1 day,
but you have the practice round, so you really have almost have two.
Every time you go play, nine times out of ten you're going to have two nights at every hotel you play in. I mean, sorry, every tournament you play in, you're going to stay there two nights.
Food.
Okay, let's give them a food number.
Okay. It's what you growing boys.
You want to go with
twice as much?
You want to go with $60
a day easily.
Okay, let's do it by 76.
Okay.
It's $4,500, $4,560.
We're getting up there.
Yeah, you're getting up there.
Haven't even traveled. We haven't even driven gas or if you fly.
We're at about $30,000 now, and we really have been very
conservative.
Very conservative. We're giving them one hotel room per tournament. We're saying the entry fee is $200, and we're eating on that amount a day.
And then you got travel to get there. So you're looking at,
you know, so it's going to add up. Now, if the way of looking at it is if you really kind of get in there and take the 30,000 and let's divide it by those number of years, divide it by six, you're looking at $5,000 per year. And you divide that by 365, you're looking at $13.69 a day.
Put in that perspective, it sounds like you can afford it. But
yeah, I mean, so even if that number doubles, you're still looking at about $26 a day.
Yeah. I mean, I know for us, I mean, we were playing a lot of those AJGAs and they were flying to some of them. And
yes,
I mean, you can drop 10 or 20,000 pretty quick if you play six or eight, 10 of them. I mean, you got to plan on it. Like for me, when I was playing the PGA Tour, or even when I'm playing Champions Tour, PGA Tour Champions, I mean, it was, by the time you paid your caddy, it was $3,000-$5,000 a week. The only thing you're not paying is a caddy. So you're still looking at, you know, you could look at easily $1,500 to $3,000 a week with everything going to play a tournament. And you got to be aware of that. And that's a lot of money for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at it from an instruction standpoint, I don't, the only players that I'm going to work with more than 50 hours a year are going to be LPGA or Korn Ferry web.com or PGA Tour players. So if I just look at the numbers that I have of what I would consider a student of mine, which would be, 15 plus hours a year, right? If you spent 15 hours with somebody in a year, you would definitely, that's a more than a less than a month, right? So let's just take that 15 and let's multiply that by a rate of $175, $26.25.
Wow.
So it's $2,625 per year, right? So you multiply that out by your 6 years, you're at $15,750. So now, being very conservative, we've already hit the $30,000 mark.
Mm-hmm. Now we've added that's 45.
Yeah.
And we travel. Yeah, you're looking at pretty significant investment.
Yes.
But when you break it down in daily, it's not as much, but it is an investment. But you know what?
Well, baseball even parents coming do up, it. Even coming up with, yes, but even coming up with $28 or $29 a day isn't easy.
No.
Right?
No, I agree. And if you got two or three kids doing it, as you've done it with two, I did it with like two or three. Only one really went, Mary Landon went a little bit regional.
Yes.
But Kathleen went more national. I mean, it was a little bit different, but yeah, it starts to add up. So you need to be aware of that, folks, and that's why we're bringing this to your attention.
Certainly, it's sort of a threshold of failure to an expense. So it's like if I have not invested any time or any dollars or any energy into anything, right? Like if I go watch Michigan play football. Mm-hmm. If they win or lose, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I've spent zero money at the University of Michigan. That being said, if I have invested time as far as being a student there, energy, going back and forth from games, and money, season tickets, what have you, then now my threshold of failure has changed because I'm invested in that now.
Right.
And you have to understand when you start dealing with a junior golfer, just based on the data, is conservatively over the course of 6 years, you're going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000
minimum.
Yeah. These are very conservative.
That's not even equipment.
We're not multiplying this. We're not taking in the gas. We're not taking in, we're not multiplying by two for hotel rooms. We're just giving a basic rate of 200, 150, 175, very basic rate. There is an investment there, and the parent and the people there, they need to understand that just because you have a curious athlete that wants to be great, and you, whether you call it a sacrifice or an investment, just because you sacrifice your time, your energy, and a substantial amount of money, that should not change how you handle their failure.
Right. It has nothing to do with success or failure.
It has nothing to do with it. It's a simple investment. And we feel like, you and I both feel like, the reason this book's out there, the reason you're doing this podcast, is because if you know what you're getting into, then maybe you can build a blueprint for it, and maybe mm-hmm. you can understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that's people need to be aware of that, because I don't know if a lot of people know. I mean, truly know how much it's going to take. I mean, hey, we feed a dog for how much a year and keep a dog alive. I mean, so it's like, there's money out there when you put it all down and you break it down, and the money we spend, this is, as you said, it's an investment. My parents would say sacrifice. I don't really consider sacrifice. It's something that, as long as my kids enjoyed it and I enjoyed watching them, there was no price I wouldn't pay it to do it, to get them out there.
Yeah.
But it is, you have to spend the time. You have
yeah, and we are in no way saying these things right. to the audience to be, you know, to make a really good thing be
yeah,
bad.
This is not Johnny right. Raincloud coming in.
No.
Just want
all.
You to be aware, because that's out there. Because a lot of people get started and go, oh my gosh, what's it going to cost me? Giving you a little bit of an idea. Now, you haven't bought equipment yet, and it doesn't mean you have top equipment. You buy new equipment every single year.
No.
And maybe that's something, you know, we can talk about, you know, equipment getting fitted and all those other things. I think you've got to get them the stuff. Just because you buy the equipment doesn't mean you're going to buy mm-hmm. the game and their happiness. That's not going to happen that way.
And the next one's going to be the return, the ROI. And the ROI, a state-run university, total scholarships worth roughly $83,000 for 4 years.
Okay.
So you're going to invest that mm-hmm. before they get to the university. You're also playing a minor sport, so the chances of you getting a full scholarship are very slim. Mm-hmm. You have to be a world beater to get a full scholarship. So you're looking at going to university on 30, 40, 50, 60% scholarship. Mm-hmm. So the ROI is probably almost 1-to-1 if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend your what number did we come up here with?
50.
You spend your 50 and you get scholarship amount of, you know, 15,000, 10,000 per year. That's a pretty good win.
Mm-hmm.
A 1-to-1 ROI is a pretty good win.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what's going to happen is a less than 1-to-1.
Right.
But the one thing you are investing in is you're investing in that kid, and you're investing in your relationship with that kid, and you're keeping that kid in tune with something. Talking about boredom,
mm-hmm.
when they get bored, you're keeping them in tune with, okay, cool, my closeness to college golf is pretty close. So that gives them and increases the chance of them having a habit of getting out and doing something for themselves that is virtuous, right?
Well, think of it in these
versus
terms.
The three fumes.
Yeah, perfume, gas fumes, and alcohol fumes. And think of it in these terms. When you broke it down daily, that's eating out one time a day.
Yeah.
So you can do it. It can be done.
Yeah.
We just want you to be aware of it. So we're going to end this one. It was kind of some data. I mean, other than our opinions, these are facts that you have some stuff that you had in front of you. We appreciate it. This is the only one-shot podcast, and Steve Azar is going to take us home with the coach.
What were you thinking on that play? Take a lap, and when you come back, maybe you'll do things my